she is beautiful, and she is as brilliant as she is beautiful. And she always brings us some special ideas to think about after her talks. So I got my notebook ready for taking notes, and I look forward to the meditation she provides us with at the beginning. It's just great to have you here, Kaylee. And the platform is now yours.
Why, thank you. It's all mine. I love it. I love it. Thank you all for letting me come and talk again. It's always a treat. Let me do some ruminating on what Paul calls that which is good and holy and of good rapport. And so it's always nice to be able to do a talk and do some reading and some thinking. And I was struck. I'm going to echo Judy in saying that I loved this chapter. Like, I just feel like it really was just really shining. I mean, all the chapters are great, and you know, Holmes is a great writer, but this one just really stuck with me and stuck out as really, really good. I just really enjoyed it. And Holmes uses the example in this chapter of talking about, you know, bringing forth something based upon your thoughts in a way of similar to how you plant something in the garden, or you plant something in the earth and it comes forth. And that actually goes quite well with the meditation I was planning. And again, very synchronistic. I thought of this meditation yesterday while out and about. Then I was studying the chapter more, or read the chapter, and I was like, oh, look, it's a perfect match. So I love that. I love when that happens. And I do like to start my chats, my talks, with a meditation. So I invite you to join me in it if you can, if you're in a safe space where you're not driving, or you're not, I don't know, operating heavy machinery. I'm not sure why you'd be doing that. But on a Sunday, if you are, you know, you can sit out the meditation. But if you want to join, please feel free. I just like us to all just center to start, because, you know, we all have busy mornings. Some of us take the dogs for a walk. I just had breakfast with my mom and dad. Some of us might have little ones to take care of. Life happens. So a nice meditation kind of gets us in a good space, a good energy. So I invite us all to just take a deep breath. Inhale, exhale. And we're just gonna steady ourselves and steady our breathing. Listen to the heart rate, the heartbeat. It's a rhythm like a mother rocking a baby in a rocking chair, or the ocean against the shore. It's amazing how earth and God is rhythm, if you think about it. The seasons, all rhythm, rhythm, rhythm. And plant your feet on the ground if you can. If not, you can just steady yourself with more breaths. And I'd like to take us today to a little cottage. And I'm taking a trip in December as a treat for my 30th birthday to London. And one place that my parents and I are debating on going to visit is the Cotswolds, which is a lovely, lovely, lovely village in, I think, the west of England. And it's just famous for being just the loveliest fairy tale cottages. And so your cottage can be that, a classic thatched roof, fairy tale cottage, or it could be a beach cottage, like I know that will be my mom's, or it could be a cottage, a log cabin in the woods, which would be my dad's. Plenty of room for the dog to run around. And I'd like you to just look at this beautiful cottage and You see around the back, there's a garden. And so I like you to just walk around to the back, to the garden. And it's a good time for this because in the wheel of the year, in a lot of the pagan belief systems, we're coming up on like the harvest equinox. I'm not going to try and pronounce the Celtic name because I'm not going to butcher the Irish, but it's the harvest festival. And so this is like, you know, the beautiful, beautiful harvest. It's the harvest moon. It tends to be, I think, toward the 20th of September, around that time. It's when, like, you know, sunflowers and seeds and nuts and everything could be brought in from the fields and start to be stored for the darker, colder side of the year. And so it's a perfect time to be in this garden because it's just so, so, so bountiful and blooming, beautiful. But one particular thing catches your eye, this one particular plant. And I'm not going to say what it is, but I want you to see it in your mind's eye. And I want you to let it be whatever your brain, your inner self, the divine says it is. When you look at this plant, you see a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful example of God's beautiful love and growth and bounty. And whatever it is, I want you to just take a seat in front of it. And the ground is so very comfortable. You're not worried about aching joints or wet dirt on your knees or bum or anything like that. You're not worried about that. You just take a seat. Maybe you're sitting on a bench, whatever is most comfortable for you. And you're just going to sit and you're just going to enjoy the sight of this beautiful plant, tree, bush, whatever it is, whatever your mind's eye just conjures up. The first thing you see, I just want you to imagine it. Look at the shape and the color. And I invite us all to just keep this in our minds as a symbol and a focus point of just peace and beauty and an example of something beautiful growing from the divinity that's all around us. And now that we're in this nice, beautiful, peaceful space, this garden behind this adorable cottage with this beautiful plant, beautiful example of God, I invite us to come back to this current physical space, and we can blink our eyes, take a deep breath, but we keep that calm and that beauty within us. And that is essentially the theme of this chapter, is that we can call forth that beauty and that divinity that is all around us at all times. And Holmes starts the chapter. I really loved how he started the chapter by saying, oh, this was inspired by reading an article, because in a lot of my talks, I talk about synchronicity, you know, like you read something, or for me, it's often like I listen to a podcast and I'll be like, oh my gosh. And then I'll read my chapter for my talk and I'm like, hello, you know, perfect match. Last talk, I was, you know, I listened to like Alan Alda from MASH, like he has a podcast, and what he was talking about and interviewing on fit perfectly. And then this week, I was thinking of the meditation, and it just perfect little synchronicities. I love it. And so it was fun to open the chapter with Holmes saying like, I read this article, and so I got inspired. And he says that he was inspired by the article because the gentleman was an industrialist, and he said, okay, we're surrounded by ideas. And Holmes is like, all right, I love that. I love that concept. He says, but I would like to differentiate between ideas and mind. And he says, ideas come from the mind. So the way I kind of thought of this was like, if mind is the beautiful, strong, gorgeous, thick oak tree trunk then ideas are the beautiful branches and limbs that come from it. But it's the center and the strong and the strength of the mind from which all things come. And Holmes says, that's what we have to first acknowledge, which is infinite mind, divine mind, God, source, whatever you want to name it. And he says, what we have to do is we have to first recognize that there's that divine mind. And then from there, we can start to call forth ideas. And then he talks about, and I just thought that was really neat. He was like, you know, I love this idea, you know, and I love this idea. There you go. I love this idea, how there's ideas around us, but I want to go to the root of it, if you will. And he says, a lot of people, you know, they need to first realize that there's something at the core of us, at the core of the universe, the center of everything. You know, the life force, prana, I believe, you know, they call it in yoga and some of the Hindu religions. The Hindu religion calls it the prana, the life force. The Chinese call it the chi. There's a center, there's an infinite mind and power and energy. And we can call it forth. And then Holmes talks about, in the next couple pages, a beautiful discussion of each and every one of us is going to call forth divine mind and intelligence differently. And he talks about, he's like, that's like a philosophical root, like, my gosh, like expression of thoughts and minds. And how is it that, you know, we have this one universal wholeness, but we each express it differently and beautifully. And just, and how incredible is that whole concept? Like, that's amazing. And so I started thinking about it and I was like, yeah, it is kind of, again, like he talks, you know, about the seed, the nature of the seed and the soil and nothing grows the same way. And I started thinking about hydrangeas. And I'm sure many of you know, or some of you know that, you know, if a hydrangea grows in more acidic soil, it changes color. Versus if it's in a different kind of soil, it's a different color. And I don't remember which is which, but one of them's blue and one of them's pink red. So, but it's just an example of how the beauty, the seed, the nature of that flower comes forth in different ways based upon where it's being called forth. And he calls it, Holmes calls it the individualization of spirit. The individualization of that divine mind. And then he talks about how if you focus on love, if you start to say and call forth and think about the idea of love, you'll begin to express it. Or if you think about beauty, you'll begin to express it. And it'll express itself in a way that's unique to you. But it'll be undoubtedly a sort of charm and grace. And this reminded me of, I was hanging out with my grandma. We had a wonderful visit with each other last week. And we were in a little shop, French shop, like has a lot of Parisian stuff because we both love Paris. And there was a book talking about how to be like Audrey Hepburn, like how to have that elegance and grace. And I was thinking about it and I was like, that's what Holmes is talking about. Just having this beauty, you know, whether it's a traditional Western beauty or, you know, a different culture sort of beauty. If you think about love and you think about beauty, it may express itself, you know, individually and differently, like an Audrey Hepburn sort of thing, or a Korean pop idol singer, you know, in the East. But at the core of it, there's this unmistakable grace and elegance and beauty that comes from the fact the root is pure elegance and beauty and grace and divine mind. There's different avenues to express, but the root and the beauty is always the same. And he says, all you have to do to express these ideas is just become receptive. He says, first, he talks about, I'm trying to find the specific place he talks about it, but he says like there's steps. There's like, you acknowledge it, you expect it, and then you be open to receiving it. So he says, you know, you realize that there's this beautiful infinite mind and you can be a part of it and you can experience parts of it. And then you just you say yes and you claim it, and then you you let it go and you let it come to you. And that can be tricky, you know, because we always want to make something happen. And the first few steps that Holmes talks about is just to just accept that you've called upon God, you've called upon universal mind, and the beauty that you've called upon, or whatever you've called upon, if it's peace, if it's comfort, he uses divine guidance as an example. Whatever you've called upon, it will come to you. It'll come to you and have that peace and have that inner knowing. He talks about in italics here, you know, allowing, letting it come. And I think that's what a lot of us struggle with, is like that just kind of take a deep breath. You know what I'm saying? Just like take a deep breath and let it come, let it be. I just always love the example of, like, you know, if we order something from a magazine, we don't constantly call the company and say, hey, oh my God, is it coming? Hey, oh my God, is it coming? Hey, is it coming? Like, we steady. We know that it's coming. And that's beautiful. And that's a gift. And that's allowing. And he says, the way you sort of do this is you call upon it and you ask it. He says, you know, he talks about this beautiful quote here. I love is, you know, you literally can say creative, inventive genius, the knower, that which I wish to know about is known to me. You can make your prayer, your affirmation, your truth specific and direct, and just say it. And this made me smile when I was reading it, you know, talking about calling forth and calling on that divine intelligence and divine mind. Because oftentimes, like in the middle of a busy workday, I'll remember something like, oh, I have to go upstairs to grab something. And I'll like come upstairs and be thinking about a million different things. And I'll be standing in my bedroom and I'll be like, what did I come up here for? You know, we all have that classic moment. And I've oftentimes started, as like 2 years now, when I have those moments, I've made it a point to say, I remember exactly the reason I came in here. I remember exactly what it is. And without fail, like in like, you know, a couple moments or 2 minutes, I'll remember what I'm doing, and or I'll remember why I came up. Or sometimes even if I'm like, all right, well, I'll just go back downstairs, I'll be like, that's what I wanted, and then go back up and grab it. But without fail, if I say that little prayer, that little affirmation, just something as simple as calling upon what Holmes calls the knower, the truth that comes from the inner God self to the outer self, if we call upon it, you know, it'll come, there'll be an answer. We just have to allow it. And he says that, you know, there's dreamers who do, you know, they have their head in their clouds. And he says, it's all good to have that beautiful meditative spirit, because that's the core of us. And that's a huge part of us. Our souls and our bodies do long for that. But we have to realize that it's all fine and dandy to be thinking about all that and meditating on it. But you have to take action too. You have to think about it. You have to call upon it, speak it, claim it, allow it. He says, listen, be receptive, and believe absolutely. Be convinced. And that goes back to what I've been studying recently, which is Neville Goddard's law of assumption. Act like it is and it shall be, you know, believe it and it'll be. Fake it till you make it, like classic stuff. So, you know, realize that there's the divine mind, that you're a part of it. Holmes talks about how we're all a manifestation of God. Realize that you can access it. He uses the quote, you know, God never sleeps. God never has to sleep. God always has the answer. God always has vitality, health, peace, calm, wisdom, knowledge. It's always there. And all you have to do is say, yes, I claim it. Be specific, be direct, say what you want, put your belief, your passion, your desire, your goal, your affirmation out there, and then allow it and know that it's going to come to you, because that's the nature of law. That's the nature of the infinite mind. It's a part of us, and God manifests through us individually, in that individualization of spirit. And that can be tricky, because sometimes, you know, it doesn't manifest exactly how we expect it. And we just have to realize that the things that are happening in our life, if we're claiming it and we're calling upon that infinite mind, it's manifesting through us in the way that's best for us or best with our circumstances. And that goes back to the core of, like, you know, it's going to individually express differently. And that could be tricky to accept too. I use the example often of when I was like 14, I had a crush on this guy and I kept trying to affirm that we would go on a date, and, you know, like 2 months went by and it never happened. And then I ended up finding out that, you know, he was unfortunately all involved in drugs and some really bad stuff. And so me calling upon divine mind was divine mind's wisdom, God's wisdom of knowing for 14-year-old Kaylee, that wasn't the best thing. And so individually through the spirit, through my circumstances, it was, I just let it go, you know, and it can be tricky to realize that that's how it's going to manifest sometimes. And we just take a deep breath and we make our new affirmations. If we need, we can say, I love the one who talks about divine guidance, you know, perfect spirit within acquaint my mind, you know, infinite intelligence guide me. So, you know, if your first prayer or affirmation to intelligence, to divine mind individualizes in a way that maybe changes the direction or changes your thoughts and you might need some guidance, switch your gears and ask divine intelligence for guidance and wisdom and knowledge. It's there for everything, which I think is really beautiful. Because again, you might have some image of how you want things to go, or you want to win like a brand new Ferrari or something, but you might not realize that taxes on that are going to be so expensive. And so, you know, things are going to manifest in the way that divine mind most easily and beautifully flows through you. And you can always rearrange your thoughts and your trajectory of thought and guidance and choices and how you want to manifest and call upon divine intelligence. You can always change that. You can always, you know, decide you want something different or just ask for divine guidance. I really loved that, that statement. He says, you know, divine intelligence, perfect intelligence, infinite intelligence, tell me what to do. That's such a simple and beautiful prayer. So I'm going to start using that. And he just says, you know, he says, use it, claim it. Don't leave it up in the air. Don't be a dreamer just in the clouds. Claim it, know it's coming to you, and then live like it's coming to you. Know it's done. Again, sort of that law of assumption concept. You know, you've made the order in the magazine, let it be, know it's coming, have faith. And he talks about the last few pages here are just talking and reiterating this beautiful example of joy and how joy is within every single one of us. And again, we could call upon it. We can open our hearts and our minds and become receptive and open-minded to how it's going to manifest and individualize within us. And he says, but divine mind is joy, is love, is wisdom. Open your consciousness to its influx that it may enrapture the soul. And he talks about the joy. He quotes Lowell and he says, the joy that tells us climbs to a soul in the grass and the flowers. And that was just beautiful. And again, it mixed so well with my meditation today about a garden. And so he talks about just the joy is there. The answer is there. All we have to do is take action and claim it and then be open like a riverbed, like a stream, the beautiful vast ocean, be open to it flowing through us and coming through us and manifesting individually, and know that it's going to be different for everybody. You know, I might have a friend, and I talked last talk about a friend of mine who's a staunch atheist and a staunch empiricist, and he says like his God is science. And so his beauty of the world and infinite love and light manifests through science and computer programming. And for me, it's more of a spiritual concept, but it's the same thing, just being individualized differently. So be open to that, call upon it, claim it, and know that it's always indwelling within you, because you're a representation and a manifestation of God. One of the branches and limbs on the mighty, mighty oak that is the divine, beautiful mind. And that's such a beautiful thought. And he talks about sense it, listen to it, receive it, expect it, take it. you know, The Secret by Rhonda Byrne simplifies it into ask, believe, receive. So, you know, just open your mind, be receptive, be open to a flow of how it might appear, but know it's there in your core, know that it's coming. And he has a quote here, you know, onlook the deity and the deity will onlook you. And I sort of chuckle because it's like the same energy as like Nietzsche's like staring long enough into the abyss and the abyss stares back. Like it's that same energy, but like the much happier, good version. So, you know, what you focus on and what you choose and what you affirm and what you claim. And Holmes says, be clear about it, be specific about it, you know, divine guidance, total abundance, complete peace, complete and total encompassing health, you know, claim it and let your heart and your soul and your physical experience be open to however it's going to manifest and individualize through you, because you are a beautiful example of God manifest. And it's just, he just ends this chapter so wonderfully. He just is like, you know, this intelligence, this beauty, and this divinity can flow into us every single day. And, you know, inventions and religions and belief systems and all of this is just higher ways of living and thought. You know, it's coming and it's here and it's there and it's ripe for the taking. And all we have to do is claim it and be open and be receptive and be appreciative of all the different beautiful ways that it does manifest. Another example I used with this is that, you know, I'm not particularly religious, but I see the way that my mom and my grandma really study it and love it. And like, I have to appreciate that beauty of their own passion. And like, that's how they find their peace and their love. I was talking with my mom over breakfast and she's like, what's your talk about? And I was like, individualizing and manifesting the divine. And she was like, oh, I'm studying about the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to be like, she's like, I didn't know all this stuff about the biblical theory. And I wanted to be like, it's all been tainted, blah, 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 by religion and all that. And I went very like pessimistic at first, but then I caught myself and I was like, wait a minute, at the core of this, isn't it the same beauty and divinity, the messenger of God, the divine spirit and love, like whatever you call it, isn't it still there? And it's the same core and it's the same root and it's the same seed. And I was like, wow. And she's like, well, what's your interpretation of it? And so I sort of explained this. And she said, wow, I like that. And I said, you're welcome to read the chapter. And she said, I would like to do that. And coming from someone who's like a Jehovah's Witness, essentially, that's a big deal. So I just thought it was just, again, a beautiful synchronicity and example of like the core and everything around us. We're swimming in the divine mind and beauty and light. And all we have to do is call it and it'll come to us. And it's going to flow through us differently. You know, it flowed through Da Vinci into Mona Lisa, and it flowed through, you know, the architects of the Taj Mahal differently. It flowed through Thomas Jefferson's pen differently when he was writing, you know, the Declaration of Independence. It flowed through Shakespeare differently. Everything. Newton with his science, Einstein with his science. You know, at the end of his life, he said, there is a God. He said, look at everything. Look at the beauty of everything. There is. And even Carl Sagan, who, to my understanding, was a pretty staunch, I think, again, empiricist and scientist. He even said, like, I think he referred to it as like alien life, like a greater life. But again, he was like, there's something bigger. And again, it's just a beautiful thing to me, like all these different interpretations of it. But at the core, it's this beauty, this divinity that's called forth and manifests in so many different ways. And all we have to do is say it and claim it and accept it. And then open our hearts and our minds and be as free and flowing as a river, as the ocean currents. Just so beautiful and smooth. And I love that. And that's so beautiful. And I hope you all enjoyed this chapter as much as I did. And I hope I made some sense and that there were some points that you all took to heart, because it's a really wonderful chapter, and I'm excited for my mom to read it, actually. So thank you all for listening, and I hope something resonated.